Man, the title of my sermon tonight is The Church of Liberalism or the Liberal Religion. Now, when we study this chapter in Genesis chapter 4, it starts out talking about Cain and Abel. And Cain is a very strong picture of false religion in 2 Peter chapter 2. And in Jude, he's brought up as being a symbol of false religion. But then at the very end of this chapter, we have in contrast the right religion, the true religion, where it says in verse 26, "And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord." So the men who are calling upon the name of the Lord, they have the right religion. Right. Abel had the right religion when he brought the blood of the lamb and brought that sacrifice unto the Lord. But Cain is a picture of false religion. Now you see, mankind is religious by nature. All of mankind. So if we as human beings do not have the right religion, worshiping the Lord in truth and in holiness and in the Holy Spirit, and if we're not acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our God and our Creator, we're going to have some other false religion, because that's just how people are. That's why all throughout the world, no matter where we go, we're going to find religion. If they reject Jesus Christ, they'll come up with some other religion, won't they? Whether it be Hinduism, Buddhism, Shinto, or whether it be Muslim or Catholic or whatever is a false religion, it's out there. The traditional pagan worship of Zeus and Thor and Venus. Look, man is just religious by nature. But today, we have a large segment of the United States population that rejects Christianity, and they claim to have no religion. But in reality, they do have a religion. Yeah. Why? Because this is just how people are. They all have a religion. So many people, in rejecting the God of the Bible, in rejecting Christianity, they've embraced the Church of Liberalism, or the libtard religion, if you will. They've embraced this. Now, this liberal religion today, of those who claim to be atheist or agnostic or non-religious, it has certain tenets. I've identified 10 different tenets. First of all, and they all start with a C, by the way. I'm trying to get you ready for Brother Jimenez this Wednesday night. So I'm preparing you to transition so that you'll be able to handle his preaching. He always has points, and they all start with the same letter, right? I don't know if he's going to this Wednesday, but they've got their creed, they've got their convictions, they've got their communion, they've got their creation story, they've got their covenant, they've got their commandments, they've got their crusade, they've got their clergy, they've got their compassion, and for them it's all going to culminate, the culmination, right? Because most religions have some type of an eschatology or end times prophecy. They've got their end game, their culmination. So those are my 10, the 10 planks, if you will, of this liberal religion. So first of all, let's start with their creed. What's a creed? A creed is a doctrinal statement or a statement of faith of what they believe. Well, here's their creed, first of all, is to respect all views except the Bible. Respect all views except the Bible. You know that's true. Now let's look down at our Bibles, because the first several of these planks are found in this story of Cain and Abel. Look down at your Bible there in Genesis chapter 4. It says in verse 3, "And it came to pass in that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell." Wroth means he was very angry. That's where we get our word wrath. Wroth is an adjective, wrath is a noun, but they're both the same thing. Intense anger. I mean, he got really mad. Why? "You don't respect my religion. Why don't you respect my views?" Because the Church of Liberalism says we must respect all views except the Bible. Respect all views. Now, let me ask you this. According to the Bible, does God respect all views?
No.
No, God looked at Cain, the author of the first false religion, and he looked at him and he said, I do not have respect for your offering. I respect what Abel has done here, but I do not respect what you've done. Cain gets mad and says, you know, you hate me. And then the Lord said unto Cain in verse 6, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if not, sin lieth at the door. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So we see that it's not that God's a respecter of persons. It's not that God prefers one before another, but God demands that they who worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's not just a choose your own way to worship God. You've got to follow the Bible, and no man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. It's not all roads leading to God or a different God manifesting himself in different ways. No, there's one way to be saved. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's no reason for us to respect false religion. There's nothing respectable about lies, about deception, about wickedness. So their creed is respect all views except the Bible. They're very inclusive. They're very tolerant unless it comes to the Word of God. You know, it's amazing that I have the opportunity every semester to preach in the local community college here. And it's a religion teacher who brings me in. And this religion teacher who brings me in is the head of diversity for the school district. Or he's somehow on some board of diversity. So many, many years ago, he brought up the fact that they respect all views. And they said, oh yeah, we respect all views. You know, no matter how crazy, right? I mean, we should give them all a hearing. We should try to see it from their side. Absolutely, respect all views. And then he said, okay, well, let me tell you, there's this guy, Steven Anderson. And, you know, here are some of his views. Here's what he believes. And they're just like, whoa, wait a minute, buddy. And this guy had been bringing in guest speakers for years. He brought in all religions. He brought in Hindus, Buddhists, Mormons. He brought in a homo pastor. He brought in a prostitute. He brought in transvestites. And it's just everything's just approved, 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 right? Pastor Steven Anderson. And it flagged the legal department at the college. No, we can't have this guy come in. I mean, some of the guests that he's had come in and speak at the college are literally in prison right now. Wow. But no Steven Anderson allowed. Okay, so finally he fought to get me in there for like 6 months. And then finally he was able to get me in there. And once I was in, now I'm just an approved speaker. So I can go back as many times as I want. I've spoken in about 65 to 70 college classes over the last, about 7 years or so that I've been speaking over there. Which is a miracle of God, you know, that God has given me that opportunity to go in there behind enemy lines and preach the truth. And there's no, I'm not censored at all. I'm allowed to say whatever I want, and I don't hold back at all. I preach just as hard over there as I would preach here behind this pulpit. And it's been great, and, you know, it's still continuing. Now, here's the thing. I said to him, because he told me he was going to retire because he wanted to go into a different career. And so I said, well, you know, are you going to pass my name on to the next guy so that he can invite me to come speak? He said, that will never happen. He said, I've already passed your name on to all the other religion speakers or religion teachers and philosophy teachers in this whole school district, and none of them will have you in as a guest speaker. I told them that, you know, the students like you and that you're one of the better guest speakers. And he said, no, none of them will have you come in. And he said, when I retire, you're done speaking at the college. It's just not going to happen. And he'll tell you, and I mean, this is a guy who's in the college, he's on the diversity board, and he said that they say they're for diversity, but they're not. He said, fundamentalist Christianity is the one view that'll never be accepted. A view of creation, according to the biblical account, will never be given a fair shake. It's not on the agenda. Everything else is diversity. And I was thinking about this too. These bunch of liberals and atheists and agnostics, these bunch of liberal Democrat type, Bernie Sanders supporters types, if you were to tell them about the Navajo's religion, about the whole world coming off the back of a turtle and the rooster and the changing woman, just all these strange fables of the Navajo religion, you know what they'll say? It's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful, and it's so great that they've preserved that. They don't even want the Navajos to become atheist or agnostic. They want them to stay with their tradition because it's so beautiful of a tradition. And, you know, how dare you white people go up there and preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them stick with their tradition. Good for them to stick by that rooster story and the coyote story and the turtle story. Good for them. But you know what? That's just such hypocrisy, because then when it comes to Christianity, it's not a beautiful tradition to them. It's just, it's superstition. It's make-believe. It's your imaginary friend, right? And they'll ridicule and attack and hate Christianity. But the Navajo religion, it's like, yeah, great, beautiful, wonderful. And what's even so bizarre is how many times they'll even think that Islam is a beautiful thing. It's like, what in the world? But you know that when you're, if you're Buddhist, you're accepted of the liberals. If you're a Hindu, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful religion. Everything except Bible-believing Christianity is great. And I mean, if you're Jewish, so much the better. So that's their creed, is to respect all views except the Bible. But number two, they have their convictions. Their convictions. Now, what does it mean to have convictions? Well, the word conviction comes from a root word that basically has to do with guilt, right? If you're feeling convicted, it means that you're feeling guilty about something, right? So you have a conscience, right? That's your convictions. Now, the word convict or conviction or convicted is only used in the Bible one time. Even though a lot of preachers use it a lot, it's really only used in the Bible one time. It was the Pharisees were convicted of their own conscience when Jesus said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." They were convicted by their own conscience, the Bible says. So conviction has to do with your conscience, right? Has to do with feeling bad about something. You know, having some limits to what you're willing to do, where you'd stop yourself and say, "Hey, I can't do that. That's wrong." You say, you know, the liberals have those? You know, these type of lefties and atheists and agnostics, they have? Oh, yeah, they have their convictions. Their convictions are animal rights. It's taking care of animals. That's their conviction. I mean, they, you know, murdering a baby in its mother's womb, abortion, no problem. But, and I mean, look, they don't mind just being with a different person physically, intimately, every single night. I mean, they can just go out and just fornicate and be a whore and a whoremonger. No guilt, no shame, no blushing, you know, day after pills, no problem, late term abortions, no problem. Just all of the morality of the Bible goes out the window. But they have their convictions. It has to do with how we treat animals. Right? And we see that in the life of Cain as well. Not only did he expect his foolish religion to be respected, but he was respectful of animals. See, Cain was the first vegan in the Bible. And that's not it. Stop laughing. That's not a joke. See, it says in verse 2, "And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep." This is verse 2 of Genesis 4. "But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof." Now here's the thing. He's not bringing the firstlings of the flock alive. He's bringing them dead. That's why he's bringing their fat separately. Yeah. In order to separate their fat from them, they're going to lose their life. Yeah. Okay. And God was the first one that killed a lamb anyway, because he killed the lamb back in Genesis 3 in order to make Adam and Eve coats of skins, right? Which is not really a vegan-approved clothing. Right. Because you see, a true vegan would be a total hypocrite to wear leather shoes and a leather belt if they're going to supposedly not have any animal products, no milk, no cheese, no eggs, and oh, the poor mistreated animals and KentuckyFriedCruelty.com and all this stuff. So then, you know, they're going to put on a belt and shoes. No, no, no. The true vegan won't even wear any animal textiles. No wool, right? No leather. No. So the first clothing that God ever made, the Bible. I mean, when man and woman were just naked, they're just nude, right? The man and his wife, Adam and Eve, they were naked and they were not ashamed. As soon as they are caught in their sin, what do? They make some vegan clothing. The fig leaf apron. God says, that's not going to work. Let me take you down to the leather store, you know, and get you some real clothes, all right? So he makes them coats of skins. So God's clothing that he made was made out of animals. And you say, well, you know, that wasn't his original intent. Okay, so I guess let's just all walk around naked and eat salad. No, we're living under God's system here of the world post-Garden of Eden. We got thrown out of the Garden of Eden, buddy. So put on the leather belt, put on the leather shoe, and but you know, pull up your pants and put on the belt, amen? Nothing worse than this sagging your pants style. Well, eat up, buddy. Drink up. Now, let me ask you this. Milk I'm talking about tonight. Now, let me ask you this. Why was Abel keeping flocks as a full-time job, a keeper of the sheep? Was it just a hobby farm? I mean, look, Cain is a tiller of the ground. Why was Cain tilling the ground? Why? Why? He wants to do what? Eat. He's got to eat something, right? So he's tilling the ground in order to produce what? Food. What else can you produce from tilling the ground? Clothing. Food and clothing. These are the necessities of life that Cain is producing, plant-based, right? Abel, on the other hand, is taking the opposite road in life. His clothing and his food is animal-based because he is a keeper of the sheep. That's what he does. So what does he eat? He eats milk, he eats cheese, he eats meat, and he wears an animal textile just like mom and dad with that first ever coat that was ever made of skins. Do you see the difference there between Cain and Abel? So Cain is truly the first vegan. Why? Because when God tells him that he needs to bring this animal sacrifice, he doesn't do it. Now, why didn't he do it? The Bible doesn't tell us why. Could it be because he just is too vegan? That he wants to bring an offering to the Lord of the fruits and the vegetables and the produce of the ground? I don't know. But I will say this, Cain is vegan. Now, to the left, to the liberals, this is cruelty to animals. And you know what? God calls for the brutal slaughter of animals all throughout Scripture, frequently. He had a whole system of brutally killing animals every day, 365 days a year, in order to worship him, right? So the first thing that they do in the morning sacrifice, they kill an animal. And people say, oh, well, you know, they did it gently or kindly. How do you kill an animal in a way that's not going to hurt? If anybody's ever seen an animal slaughtered, they know that the animal is enduring pain. You know, I remember when I saw an animal slaughtered for the first time. It was a pig being slaughtered. I was in Hungary, and he told me, my father-in-law, that is, he told me, he said, well, you know, the EU has gotten stricter on us about the animal rights, so we have to tranquilize the animal before it's killed because the EU has made it against the law to do it our traditional way. So he gets out the tranquilizer. I'm expecting a syringe. It's a sledgehammer. So he brings out the sledgehammer. He brings it down on the head of the pig. Just bunk. And the thing goes, falls over. Okay, Then they slit its throat, and blood is coming out of its throat like a garden hose into a little, like a little crock pot dish. And then the guy's just grabbing the thing's leg and just kind of pumping it so that the blood will go into the dish. And that was the humane way of doing it. Right? To bash it over the head with a hammer, slit its throat, blood's gushing out, and everything like that. And he said, oh, it's horrible. Really? If it's so horrible, then why did God command the Levitical priests to do it every single day? They're taking birds and wringing their heads off. Have you ever done that? Who's wrung the head off of a bird? I've done it. You know, I mean, it's pretty serious. And not only that, but he's taking poor little innocent goats and sheep, and the Bible said, break his neck. Yep. Is that going to hurt? Is that going to suffer? Right? Break its neck. How do you kill it? By breaking its neck. Right? Slit their throats, the Bible says, about the animals. So he has them kill it. I mean, look, what about when Solomon prayed for wisdom? What did he do first? Why did God answer his prayer? Before Solomon prays for wisdom, read the story. He had a mass animal sacrifice of thousands of animals. So he just kills thousands of animals, slaughters thousands of animals, and God comes to him and says, hey, let me bless you for doing that. Now look, if you have a problem with this, you have a problem with the God of the Bible starting in Genesis 3. You're not going to get very far. And I'm so sick of these vegans that want to keep quoting Genesis 1, 29 through 31. Can you read a little further?
Right.
You know, you're stuck in chapter 1. Well, when you get to chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 9 and the whole rest of the Bible, there are going to be a lot of things that you don't like.
Yeah.
And the problem with you, bunch of liberal, libtard, vegan, leftists who don't care about abortion, you don't care about all the violation and dirty things that go on in this, but oh, the poor little animals. The problem with you is that you hate God.
That's right.
You don't like God because you think God's a monster because he killed too many goats. He killed too many sheep. He killed too many animals. He's such a monster. No, you're wicked and you're a monster.
Yeah.
But they have their own convictions, don't they? Animal rights, veganism. That's their communion, their vegan food. You see, it's impossible to believe in veganism and to believe in the Bible. There, I said it. Because you're having to reject literally thousands of scriptures. You're having to reject every animal sacrifice, which is just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chapters. I mean, it's just the whole book of Leviticus is gone, right? You're having to just sit there and just reject the Bible's clear teaching on clothing, on food, and you'd have to believe that it was wrong when they ate the Passover every year, as God commanded them to do. You'd have to believe that it was wrong when Jesus sent 2,000 pigs running off a cliff on purpose. I mean, he decided to do it. The devil said, hey, can you send us into this? Why? He said, go. They all ran off a cliff and died. Jesus didn't even bat an eye. He didn't even care. It meant nothing to him to send 2,000 pigs running off a cliff. And it says that they violently perished in the waters. So it wasn't a painless death. Okay, all of the heads being wrung off, all the broken necks, all of the dead animals. You know what? God didn't even care. He said, just do it. Just slaughter another 1,000 of them. Why? Because they're not people. They're not humans. They're not men. They're just animals. They don't matter. Okay, and I'm so sick of this philosophy, even infecting Christians, where they get infected by the world's morality. Look, there are enough morals and rules in this book for us to follow. Let's follow what this book says. We don't need to add all these rules about how, oh, we got to take care of the animals, and oh, we got to make sure that we treat them right. Kill them and eat them.
Amen.
Arise, Peter, slay and eat.
Yes.
That's what the Bible actually says. Anybody who says that the Bible teaches veganism is a bold-faced liar.
That's right.
They're just a liar. Mm-hmm. And they can quote their Genesis chapter 1 all day long, where God has them in the Garden of Eden eating fruits and vegetables. Look, they have a perfect body. They're never going to die. They're going to live forever. Totally different scenario than the way that we live right now. Okay, they don't have to worry about their health. They don't have to worry about anything, any hormones. They don't have to worry about it. Look, they're just eating fruits and vegetables off the garden, and they're just going to live forever no matter what. They're never going to be sick. Nothing's ever going to go wrong because they're in paradise. Okay, but as soon as they're out of paradise, the leather jacket comes on and the meat comes out. And look, even if you believe, as I used to wrongfully believe, even if you believe that they didn't eat meat until the flood, which I don't believe that anymore because it doesn't make any sense. Even if you believe that, you know, Abel's keeping those sheep for something. You know, if nothing else, he's getting the meat and he's getting the milk and the cheese and the dairy and everything like that. And you know what? This is what these people will bring up to these vegans, their straw man argument. They'll say, oh, well, you know, what about the factory farming? And you're eating all this meat that's contaminated and it's hormone laced and all this stuff. But that's a straw man because you can actually eat healthy meat. All the meat that we buy in our house is grass-fed and organic. Yep. That's all we eat. So that's just a straw man to just point to McDonald's and say, see, meat's bad. Yeah, that meat's bad. Yeah. It's not even meat. It's animal. Yeah, it's not 100% beef, but it's 100% cow. But it's parts of the cow that you'd probably rather not eat. But that's just this straw man of, oh, you know, don't you feel bad for all these? You know, why don't you bunch of liberals start caring about abortion? Yeah. Why don't you start caring about the warfare and the military-industrial complex? And, you know, and then we'll talk about your animals, and then I'll tell you, no, I don't care. These animals are all going to burn up and die. That's They're right. not going to be raptured. They're not going to be included in the rapture.
Right.
They're going to be left here to drink blood and scorched with heat and all that.
Yep.
I mean, think about all the times that God just punished innocent animals in the Bible.
Yeah.
What about when he sent the plagues on Egypt and he's just like, I'm going to send a plague where I just put a disease in all the cattle. Every animal, every dog, every cow is going to be filled with disease. What'd the animals do wrong? Were the animals not letting Moses go? No. But God, but look, you either believe the Bible or you reject the Bible. It's that simple. You either believe the Bible where God doesn't care about the animals and he plagues them and kills them and they mean nothing to him. They're just fodder. Or you, and look, of course the vegans have a couple verses they can pull out of context. You can make the Bible say anything you want when you take stuff out of context.
Yeah.
But if you actually read the whole book, it's just chapter after chapter after chapter of animals dying. Sometimes for a reason and sometimes for no reason. Because they're just unimportant fodder in the story. They mean nothing. They're meaningless. So that's their conviction, animal rights. What's their communion? Marijuana. But anyway, creation. How about, let's get into their creation story. The religion of liberalism has its own creation story. It's the Big Bang. Now, don't ever let anybody tell you that the debate is between creation and evolution. That doesn't make any sense. Those two things are not opposites. Why? Because creation has to do with where things came from in the beginning. And evolution is just talking about how a single-celled organism slowly changed into a more complex organism. That's what evolution is, right? So even if you believe in evolution, that doesn't explain where the first animal came from. Does everybody understand that? So they can show their chart all day long that shows an ape slowly turning into a human being, but that does not tell you where the first life came from, the first animal came from. So they're like, oh, well, where'd we come? Evolution. Evolution explains nothing. Because the hardest part to explain is not how an ape supposedly turned into a human. The hardest part to explain is how nothing turned into a single-celled organism. Because single-celled organisms are extremely complicated, Remember learning about them in school, the paramecium and the amoeba? Remember learning about the mitochondria and learning about all the different parts of a cell? And remember learning about the DNA? Even when you're just learning the basics, it's super complex. Mm-hmm. Let alone if you go deeper into studies of microbiology. You'd have to be a fool to say that there's no God after an in-depth study of microbiology. Where did that first organism come from? It'd be like if there was just a green circuit board. You know those little green computer boards that everything is put on? It'd be like if you had a green circuit board and it was raining out of the sky solder, liquid soldering, right? And resistors were floating around and diodes are floating around. Capacitors are floating around, right? And just give it a few million years and what? You're going to have a computer that's up and running. But that's more believable. That's more believable than to think that there was just an explosion, there's just gases and rocks and elements, and that all of a sudden something came to life. And you know what? Once that something came to life, it had to reproduce. And it had to reproduce it, something that can survive and eat. It had to have something to eat. What's it going to eat? Well, think about it. What do we eat? We can either eat plants or we can eat animals, right? I eat both. I'm not against eating plants. I eat both. But here's the thing. We can either eat plants or animals. What do these two things have in common? Plants and animals. They're living things, right? So what do you eat when you're the first life form? And if you're lucky enough to where there's two of you, you eat the other one. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing else to eat. Right? I mean, what do you, you know, it's like, okay, there's two of us. We could either reproduce or I can eat you. Or maybe we'll do both. I mean, it's like, you know, what do you do? It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense to just think that just out of nowhere, just these bacteria are just going to be invented and they just start growing and multiplying. What are they eating? Who knows? What are they eating? Rocks? Dirt? Air? They can't eat plants. There aren't any. They can't eat animals. There aren't any. It's nonsense. And no one will ever explain it to you. Never. You could go to that ASU science department and sit there for 20 years and take every class taught by every instructor. They will never demonstrate to you, okay, here's how the first life form came into existence. Let me break it down. Here's how it survived. Here's how it reproduced. They're just like, well, it's just one of the mysteries of our religion. It's a mystery of their religion. It's just something they believe in. It's a fable. It's a myth. It's a fairy tale. It's been proven that it can't happen. Life produces life, and nothing can come to life on its own. You can even give people a dead body and say, bring it to life. They're already starting with the whole body. They can't bring it to life. But we're supposed to believe that the body was created and it was brought to life. And people are so foolish today in America, they think that life can be created in a laboratory. They actually think that. They've watched a lot of science fiction and movies, and they think that they can actually bring things to life in the laboratory. It can't happen. Well, cloning. Cloning is where they take something that's already alive, they remove the DNA and put in a different DNA to make a clone. They don't bring anything to life. They can never bring anything to life. You could give a scientist a laboratory, Bunsen burners, heaters, coolers, beakers, test tubes, and give him every element on the periodic table to work with and tell him, make an organism, make the simplest organism. And that's even with a designer, and he can't even do it. Give him all the computers he wants, give him a smartphone, and tell him, make something that's alive, however basic, however simple, let it reproduce. Could never happen, never. But we're supposed to believe it happened by itself. That all the elements happen to be there with no designer, and it happened. They can't even do it with a designer. They can't even do it with a computer. They can't do it with anything because only God can do it. And only God has ever been able to bring things to life, and only God will ever be able to bring things to life. And just to make it clear, I don't believe in evolution at all. Evolution's a big fraud, but evolution's not even the debate. See, evolution is like a smokescreen to get you to focus on that instead of focusing on the real big question is where we came from. Because you know what's a lot more foolish than evolution is the Big Bang. The Big Bang theory is so bizarre and foolish, they don't want to talk about that. So they want to focus on fossils. Show us a fossil of the first organism, how it came to life, how about getting halfway there? It's all nonsense. It's part of their religion. So we got their creed. What's the creed of the liberal religion? Accept all views. Respect all views except the Bible. What are their convictions? Well, it's animal rights. It's all about saving the whales and saving the owls. And it's all about eating vegan food so that we might protect and be kind to our four-legged brothers and sisters. Or great-grandparents or whatever. Cousins. Distant cousins. What's their creation myth? It's the Big Bang. What's their covenant? They have a covenant theology. Their covenant is, hey, don't judge. I won't judge you. You don't judge me. Don't judge ever anyone for any reason. What about their commandments? They have their commandments. We have our commandments, right? What? The Ten Commandments and all the other hundreds of commandments in the Bible. But the Church of Liberalism has their commandments, and they have their great lawgiver. Their great lawgiver is the state. And their commandments are the laws that the state dictates. That's why when you tell them that something is wicked or immoral, they'll say, well, you do know that abortion's legal, don't you? As if, because to them, that makes it right in their mind. Because the government is God, the state is their God, and the laws of the government are the morals that we follow. Because if you don't reject the Bible's morality, you have to have some morality. So their morality becomes, if it's legal, it's fine. If it's not legal, don't do it. And here's the thing. The left-wing mentality leads inevitably to socialism and communism, where God is replaced by the state. Look at the communist regimes. Look at the socialist regimes, right? Because they always want to say, oh, well, you know, don't talk about the USSR. Don't talk about China. Don't talk about North Korea. That's communism. We believe in socialism. But look at the socialist countries. They're little beacons of hope. Sweden, Denmark, Iceland, right? The socialist states. That's who we... Forget, just ignore this giant elephant in the room of hundreds of millions of people over in the USSR, former USSR. You know, just forget about these billion people over in the People's Republic of China, but let's just talk about the 8 million people in Sweden. See, these tiny little countries that are rich because they have oil and all these resources, and they have this tiny population with all is sitting on all these resources in Norway and Denmark and everything else. You know, it works. See, socialism works, right? But let me tell you something. Even in their socialist paradises there, they are very much non-believing, anti-God, yeah. Right? It's leading toward godlessness, and the rates of atheism are going up over there. The rates of believing on the Lord are going down. So whether you're in the communist, the real communism, the real socialism over in USSR, North Korea, China, whatever, or when you're looking at their little fake paradises over in Sweden and Iceland, both are godless places. Yep. They're both places where the state replaces God as the caregiver. The state replaces God as who we look to for security and safety, who we look for to provide for us, and whose laws we worship. Both of them. And by the way, these Scandinavian countries are not a paradise. They're wicked places. They have the highest antidepressant use in the world in Iceland, Sweden, Denmark. Highest antidepressant use in the world. Highest level of children born out of wedlock in the world are in these countries. Okay? They also they claim to be the happiest place on earth while they take the most antidepressants. I guess those pills are really working. So, in the Church of Liberalism, God is replaced by the state. They have their commandments, you know, thou shalt not own a gun. is one of the key commandments that they believe in. They have their crusade, right? Now, we as Christians are on a crusade. What's our crusade? To win souls.
Amen.
Right? We're on our, we've got our crusade where we want to go up and reach all the Indians with the gospel and preach the gospel of the Navajos and the Apaches and the Totonacs. And we want to go into Mesa and Chandler and Gilbert and evangelize with the gospel. They have their crusade. Their crusade is environmentalism. That's what they live for. We've got to fix the environment. What about the clergy? We have our clergy, right? Pastors, preachers. In the Bible, there are various prophets and priests. Their clergy are Hollywood actors. That's their prophet, right? That's their priest or pastor. Hollywood actors, people like Angelina Jolie and George Clooney and people, you know, in the media, these pop stars that, you know, Bono is another one of their high priests of leftist libtardism. Okay. They've got their atheistic scientists as their preachers also to, when they need to preach on creation. They've got Michio Kaku and Neil deGrasse Tyson. They've got Bill Nye, you know, who's kind of the clown of their clergy. He's sort of like their, who's the clown of Christianity? Joel Osteen? No. We got to get even clownier than that for Bill Nye. What? Sam Gipp? What was that? What's that? Benny Hinn, there we go. Yeah, yeah, he's like the Benny Hinn of their religion. Yeah, there you go. Now we're talking. And then their clergy consists of the Hollywood actors, the atheistic scientists, and left-wing politicians. Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, you know. And by the way, I heard that Hillary Clinton is becoming a pastor. Who heard this? And it wasn't a joke. At first, I thought it was a joke. Like, it could be from one of these fake news joke sites or something. People are looking skeptical of me right now. But I did some fact-checking, and she was actually... Who believes that it's true? Put up your hand, right? You saw it. You fact-checked it, right? That she wants to be a pastor. She wants to preach. But in reality, she's been a preacher for a long time. She's been preaching her religion, preaching her morals, preaching her beliefs, preaching her commandments and her crusade and her creed and her convictions and everything like that. It's a church of liberalism. It's a religion unto them. Look, have you ever known people who are vegans? It's their religion. It's a religion to them. Have you known people who are big-time leftists, socialists? It's their religion. It's their God. It's who they are. Have you known people who are hardcore atheists or hardcore into the Big Bang and evolution and all that? It's a religion unto them. There's no question about it. They have their compassion, right? We as Christians, we believe in showing compassion, right? What does compassion mean? It means sympathizing and empathizing with people who are going through suffering, right? So we want to reach out to people that need help and help them. The Bible talks about if anybody sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What about the compassion of the Church of Liberalism? Oh, they're very compassionate, right? But only to those who are the most wicked possible people. The most wicked people. So this includes people who are sexual perverts, right? That's who they're constantly feeling bad for, and they want to reach out to and help. And also, their social crusade is for the homeless and the derelicts. Now, here's the thing about this, okay? We have a major homelessness epidemic right now in the United States of America. We've contacted the police a few times over the last few months just about the fact that we're sick and tired of our streets, our parks, everything just being infested with able-bodied young people who are living a homeless, derelict lifestyle, harassing us and stinking up the joint. So we've contacted the city and talked to them, and here's what the city said. They said, it's not just in Tempe, it's nationwide. They said, it's exploding nationwide. Homelessness is exploding everywhere. It's exploding nationwide. And, you know, they said, we're trying our best to combat it, but the Tempe Police Department told us, you know what, there are two reasons why we can't get the homeless problem under control in Tempe. They told us this, and look, this is coming from the Tempe Police Department. They said there's two reasons why. They said it's the ASU libtard college students, bleeding heart liberals who just give them money and food and don't even think about it. And it's the churches in Tempe with their homeless ministries that are screwing up our city. That's what the police department told us. This isn't coming from some radical preacher. The police department said, here's who's to blame, because they don't want to take the blame. The government doesn't want to take the blame, right? So they said, it's the churches and the libtard college students. That's who's to blame. Because they said, the churches are just giving them all indiscriminately free food, showers, clothing. They just give them everything. And they have no incentive to work at all. No incentive to work. And then every year when the college students show up, the bums hit them up for money, and they just indiscriminately give them money, give them money, give them whatever they need. The churches are doing the same thing. He said, please, this is what the policeman said to us, please never give them any money. Never give them any food. Don't give them anything. Because they must have an incentive to go to work. This is from the secular government. I mean, they're telling us, look, we can't control it anymore. It's out of control. And by the way, 25% of the homeless are already registered sex offenders. But we're just supposed to just bring them all in here and feed them with no regard for who they are, why they're in that condition. And you know what I'd like to know? And you know what? You're mad about this sermon, and you don't have to go join the Church of Libtardia, and you'll get all the compassion from them. Because you know what? I'm here to tell you something. Giving money indiscriminately to people who refuse to work is not making their lives any better. All you're doing is destroying our city and turning it into a cesspool.
That's right.
It's all you're doing. The Bible says, okay, in Abel's religion, not Cain's religion, in Abel's religion, the Bible says that if any man will not work, neither should he eat.
That's right.
And you know what? It would do these people good to go a couple days without eating. You can go many days without eating and survive just fine. And you know what? I'll bet you they'll end up getting a job around day 2 or day 3 or day 4 of not eating. And you know what? They're going to be way happier because men who work are happy. They have self-respect. They have dignity. But instead, we have 20, 25, 30, 35, 40-year-old homeless. And he said, oh, the homelessness in America is out of control. What are the churches going to do about it? The churches are doing too much. What's the government going to do about it? The government's doing too much. What are Christians? The Christians are doing too much. Why? Because if you feed the bears at the national park, then they won't know how to get food on their own anymore. And look, I will give money or food to someone who is crippled, who cannot work. Yeah. And you know what? The Bible says that the righteous man considers the cause of the poor. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say the righteous man just gives all his money to every registered sex offender standing by the side of the road with a sign that says, anything helps, God bless. And you know what? When I drive by these people and when they come here to the church, able-bodied young men, and ask me for food and money, you know what I tell them? Get a job, you lazy jerk. You lazy jerk, get a job. You're disgusting me by refusing to work. And you know what's even sicker is that they ask women for money. They walk up to my wife. They walk up to a wife with four kids. Hey, can I get some money? Go to work. Go to work. And you know what? It's just stupid. And these churches, they just, and they like pat themselves on the back and think that they're earning their way into heaven by ruining our city and turning it into a den of homeless, lazy derelicts. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. And it's amazing how when people stop giving you free stuff, you figure out a way to get fed. You figure out a way to get a job. You figure out, and you know what? Everybody's hiring. Have you noticed that? Everywhere you go right now, the economy's booming. Everybody's hiring. Every business, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring. Everywhere you go in the city. And you see the same people standing on that corner week after week, month. I mean, I'm starting to know them all. You see them over and over again. And then you know what? The park that I pay for, every time I pay my property tax, every time I pay my sales tax, I pay all these taxes for a park, and I want to send my kids to the park to go play at the park, but I can't because there's a bunch of sex offenders there. Bunch of lazy, derelict, wicked people there laying around, stinking up the joint. There'll be as many as 20 people just laying on the ground in the park in the middle of the daytime when decent people are working. They're all just laying around. We can't send our kids there. So then the park becomes useless to us. And then the library becomes useless to us because the library is just filled with these homeless, transient derelicts. Now you say, you don't have any compassion. No, I have the right kind of compassion. I have compassion for God's people, for my children, and I have compassion for people that are actually crippled and can't work, who wish they could work, and I have compassion for people who work hard and are poor and still can't make ends meet, right? That's who I want to help. That's who I want to give to and do something for them to help them get back on their feet. But some career bum, and you know what? Look, if everybody thought like us, we'd have this town cleaned up in 1 week. In a single week. If everybody rolled down the window and said, get a job, you lazy jerk, every time they drove by these people. If every single time we these people asked us for money, we said, no, you're a disgrace. Get a job. You're young. You're able-bodied. You're able to work. Go get a job. You know what? It would clean it up so fast because just a few days of no handouts and these people would be forced to do what? They'd be lined up at the day labor place. But they won't be ever be there because the churches, the libtard churches, are all just lining them up and just giving them everything that they want. And they're not helping anybody. They're just patting themselves on the back. Now you say, Pastor Anderson, you're going to get a reputation for not being charitable and not caring about people that are poor. Well, here's the thing. There's three things that I want to have a reputation for. I want to have a reputation, number one, for not giving alms to the poor, for not praying, and for not fasting. I want everybody to walk around and say about me, that guy doesn't give to the poor, that guy doesn't pray, and that guy doesn't fast. Those are the three accusations that I want to happen. And here's why I want to have those accusations happen. Because those are the three things that when you do them, you're never supposed to tell anybody about it. Isn't that what the Bible says? That when you give alms, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand doeth. You don't let anybody know. You do it in secret. And when you pray, you shut the door and you do it in secret. And when you fast, you don't appear unto men to fast. Right? So if those accusations are low, this guy doesn't help the poor. And I've had that accusation made to me many times. This guy doesn't pray. This guy doesn't give alms. Well, then great's going to be my reward for all the times that I did give to the poor, all the times I did pray, and all the times I did fast. Because if people praise me for doing those things, I lose my reward. The Bible says that if people see you do it, you lose your reward. But these churches, oh, that they make a big show, don't they? Look at what we're doing for the homeless. And all they're doing is making those people's lives miserable. Because men who don't work are miserable. You think those people are happy? Who do you think's happier tonight? Me? I know I don't seem very happy when I'm preaching, but anybody who knows me outside the pulpit knows I'm a very happy person 7 days a week, all right? But you know what? These bums are miserable today. You say, well, but Pastor Anderson, I do have compassion on them. I feel sorry for them. Okay, then help them. by kicking their butts and telling them to go to work.
Amen.
Right? That'll help them. Give them a swift kick in the back. Get to work, buddy. That's the best. You know, do what their parents failed to do for them. Help them to realize how wicked they are. Help them to realize how work is going to make them a happier person. And by the way, can you please present to me any Tempe bums who don't drink and don't do drugs? I want to know what percentage of bums never drink and never do drugs. That's what I'd like to know. And if I were even to up the ante and say how many of them have never drunk and never done drugs, we both know that number would be zero. Not 1%, not 0.1%, not 0.00001%. It would just be zero. It would just be a zero. I want you to show me the homeless, young, able-bodied bum that never drinks and never does drugs. It doesn't exist.
That's right.
They drink, they do drugs, they're perverts, they're laying around, stinking up the joint, and you say, it's not nice. Then prove me wrong, you bunch of bums, and go get a job and make a decent person out of yourself.
Amen.
Opportunities are everywhere. You want to go see real poor people? Go to South Africa and see people that are really poor. Nobody's poor in Tempe. There's derelicts and there's people who work for a living. There's two kinds of people in Tempe, Arizona. Derelict, homeless, the homeless problem. Yeah, you know what's going to fix the homeless problem? Bible preaching.
Yeah.
You know what's going to fix the homeless problem? Rejecting the libtard religion of just giving them everything. And telling them, oh, you poor thing, you're a victim. Even though you're 22 years old and you could have just lived with your parents.
Right.
Or you could just get a job. You could just be working for a living. And you know what? The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard.
Yeah, right.
So if their life's hard, the Bible predicted that.
Yeah.
And lastly, this, what's the culmination? What's the end times prophecy of the liberal religion? We've seen their commandments, their crusade, their clergy, their so-called compassion, their creed, their convictions, their communion, their creation story, their covenant. What is the culmination? What's their end times? It's socialism worldwide. A one world government of socialism. That's what they want. One world system, one world socialism. And you know what they're going to end up doing? The same thing Cain did. Murder. Murder. What happened when the commies and socialists took over in USSR, right? They murdered everybody else. They murdered Christians. What'd they do in Cambodia? Murdered Christians. What'd they do in China? Murdered Christians. What do they do when they get in charge? These atheist, socialist, leftist regimes murder Christians is what they do. And you know what in the end times is going to happen? What's the Bible say is going to happen? They're going to murder the saints, right? They're going to get their one world socialism, socialism worldwide, perpetual revolution, whatever you want to call it, and then they will murder the Christians just like Cain, the first libtard, the first vegan, the first Bernie supporter, the first leftist, the first commie. What did he do? He murdered the Christian. He murdered the first Christian, right? It's a religion and it's wicked. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And we thank you that we have the truth tonight, Lord. And we thank you that we have the word of God to guide us, not George Clooney or Bono or any of the other Hollywood actors or fake scientists like Michio Kaku, Lord. Thank you for giving us the law and the prophets and the apostles, Lord. And thank you for giving us men of God like Brother Jimenez that's going to come to preach to us on Wednesday night. Lord, this world is in darkness. Our country is rejecting Christianity and going into a false left-wing religion. But Lord, I pray that Christians would not be influenced by this. It scares me the way I see Christians embracing veganism when it's a doctrine of devils, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4. When I see Christians obsessing over giving free stuff to homeless people and just embracing socialist philosophies and big government philosophy. Lord, help us to stay grounded in the Word, to read our Bibles every day to make sure that we don't get brainwashed with this media left-wing religion, Lord. Help us to stick with the traditional values of the Christian Bible. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.